for not involving ourselves with the kingdom of God in a way that we seek to be qualified in character and commitment to be mightily used of God and to be leaders in the body of Christ. And so it is that amidst all these feelings of limitation of Corinthian singles, the limitations of human relationship and sexual relationship, that Paul invites them nonetheless to keep exploring the dimensions of spiritual service and to avoid being singularly unfruitful, or like Paul, to be provoked and to live in such a way that those who are married envy his state of singleness, free from compulsions, free from guilt, free from moral tyranny of just a few sexual rules, and free from illusions, including illusions even about what marriage is about. And so I want to encourage you that whether you find yourself unmarried and want to stay that way, whether you are unmarried but want to get married, whether you are unmarried but once married, whether you are unmarried and plain uncertain about where you want to go or how to get from where you are to where you want to be, or whether you are unmarried and find yourself in a place of much harder irresolution than you would desire for yourself, I want to encourage you that regardless of how we describe the states of our singleness, there is a word of hope and a word of encouragement that comes from Scripture to us. And that will be the burden of my next communication. I want to go through those five descriptions of different states of singleness in the life of the community and what the community is demanded to think about it and take responsibility for. Meanwhile, Scripture leads me to say to all singles that there is a power against the odds, according to the Word of God, for us to live a life that remains continent in our sexuality, contented against the odds in our status, and committed with all our hearts in our service. None of those things come by the laying on of hands, but all of those things come not just in a private context of battling it out, but hopefully in a corporate context that is sensitive to the demands, sensitive to the burdens, sensitive to the needs, that says there is a way that we can walk together. I love what somebody said about singleness and marriage. They are equally different vehicles to get us to a greater destination. They are not in themselves, in terms of the kingdom of God, the destination itself. And that is particularly a word to marriage in the evangelical culture. It is not the terminus. It is a very fast through station. And therefore, having said some things by way of foundation about singleness, let me say to the marriage present and to my own heart that for everything we say about intentionality in our singleness, there is a great call to the exemplar of our life of an intentionality in our marriage. And it is wearying as a pastor to deal with those who still have unresolved in their life their doubts and even their fears, whether it's in reaction to something of the past, but lack of conviction about what they are perceiving in the present. And we need to remain committed as a church to support each other and to mature. I want to mature as a husband in relation to CD. Six kids, two left at home. We sometimes talk like we're just going through a rite of passage. You're learning new things. You're maturing in your marriage, in your context. I want to say as a husband, I want to say in front of you, I want to say, we'll see you. Bring it on, Lord. More. I want to learn. I want to be changed. And by the way, that's one of the things that blows the great myth of the perfect partner. One of the great, great gifts of marriage is the sanctifying of the life, where God uses it as a vehicle where you are changed. In other words, if I say one thing about dating, and it's been dealt with very well in many contexts, when God leads us in our relationships, don't ever forget, we're not just meeting the present self, we're meeting a future self that is yet unmade by the power of God And we're invited to participate in that making and frankly, be changed personally in it. All those in favor of change, whether single or married, say amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to confess to you, Lord, how on the one hand, Lord, how in awe I am, Lord, of your heart for us. Lord, we find ourselves so often overcome with the sadness that it seems so hard to muddle through sometimes, Lord. And yet, Lord, to those times of righteous anger, when people, including us, have been put off at the wrong station. And Lord, even as we begin to get into these issues, Lord, it's so big, Lord. It just doesn't lie down and behave itself, Lord. It doesn't lend itself to three neat little tricks, oh Lord. But we're not asking for that, Lord. We're asking that as openly and as truthfully and as lovingly as we can, as brothers and sisters who've been put together in this place for this season of our life, no matter how long or how short, that we're able to mature in our brotherhood and sisterhood, that areas of weakness in our family life will be strengthened, Lord, that we'll find ways of being peacefully and fruitfully who we're called to be at this season, whether married or single. And therefore, Lord, in one big dump prayer, we just bring who we are as married. We bring who we are as single. We bring who we are at peace or dispeace, resolved or unresolved, Lord. As we were singing, Lord, we just all hunker down together at the foot of your cross. Oh, magnificent single that you are, Lord Jesus, who even on the cross was stripped. Oh, horrible thought, Lord, stripped. We assume, Lord, they left you your loincloth. We know they didn't. Stripped to the bareness of your own sexuality, bearing in your body the bareness of our pain and our brokenness. And Lord, we cast ourselves upon you. We say, Lord, we need you to get from where we are to where we want to be. And we unashamedly say, Lord, we need the tender hands of one another to get from where we are to where we need to be. Make us brave, Lord, to talk about things that are hard to talk about. Let us, Lord, not hide what you ask us to talk about openly. And Lord, let us not be people who are in hiding. Let us not hide in our marriages. And let us not hide in our singleness, Lord. We would want to exchange any place of hiding, Lord, there, for what your word says is hiding in you, hiding in your promises, hiding in your personhood, hiding in your power. Take away, Lord, the fig leaves of our self-defenses and give us, Lord, a safety, first an intimacy with you, to wobble our way, Lord, to where you call us to be. Just while we're in prayer, I just need to say one thing. I can't let you leave without saying this. I haven't got to it, but I've just got to say it. I want to lift off whoever it is. There's a phrase often used, the gift of singleness, which almost like, you know, oh great, this is a great gift. I want to tell you, there are many people sadly who are married who don't feel they have the gift of marriage. But scripture doesn't deal with it in that kind of way. When Paul says this gift and that gift, he's not talking about a spiritual gift like 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. He's talking about the status, the state that we find ourselves in, that we're able to accept as the disposal of God to us, in which we will find his meanings and his goodness. There's been much brokenness and many sinful things said by putting on people the burden that somehow they're meant to bear this gift of singleness. And therefore, it's easy to understand why so many singles will say to me, is it a gift that I can return? It does have relevance insofar as both marriage and singleness have an equal proportionality of gift in that they can be exchanged because they have the same value. There is a very unique gifting of what Paul describes as celibacy, as setting themselves apart as a eunuch for the kingdom of God. I have known, had two friends who've had that calling. One still has it. The other one, God lifted it off him, and he is now married. But he's talking specifically about that. And I just want to lift that off anybody if it has become a ground of false condemnation about how you are meant to feel or not feel about your desires, about your sexuality, about your feelings about marriage or anything else, that somehow you're on a constant fail before God because you haven't got this gift of singleness. I hope that makes sense. I'm not being very articulate about it. But for whom it is, I want to lift it off you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just lift it off you in the name of the Lord. And did Stan pray very personally for you, my sister, or you, my brother. As I pray for you, will you pray for me that I mature and be more Christ-like in the status that I am in as a husband, as I will pray equally for the greatness of joy and productivity and fruitfulness and fulfillment in the state that you are in your life, as together we pass through these states to a greater destination that is to come. Neither Celie or I know the point at which we will be single again. We don't know. We can't give a guarantee to each other of the longevity of our marriage. Though I pray, Lord, I don't have a heart attack today, please. Thank you. And so, Lord, we bring to you this inordinate desire you've given us to live as long as possible with you and with each other, and for there to be as much grace space as possible for us to know longings fulfilled and peace in our hearts. May the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gird, guard, and gift you now and until Jesus comes as we happily wobble our way together to the life to come. Amen. Share the peace and run.